Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Have you ever felt like you've tried everything to heal from the pain of sexual abuse, and yet nothing seems to really be helping? Well, one of the reasons why most people struggle to break free from the pain of past child abuse is because the techniques out there are positioned as a one-size-fits-all answer. What I want you to know is that there are actually three distinct phases on the path to recovery, and I'd love to share with you about these phases, what issues you must resolve to move to the next phase, and what kinds of support you'll need in order to move forward as quickly and completely as possible. The road to recovery is much easier when you know what stage you're in and what to do next. So don't hesitate. Go to www.rachelgrantcoaching.com/checklist and get your 9-page guide today. Now, on to our show. Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007 and am the author of Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, for those of you who are listening today, I really encourage you to stop everything else that you're doing and listen in. Tune in to our guest today, Dee Williams. This is a powerhouse woman. This is a world changer. And this is someone who we have to stop and listen and really take in everything that she has to say. You don't want to miss any little bit of this. She's going to be here today talking with us about how to live with no excuses, how to live audaciously, and much, much more. Now, I have to tell you that I first came across Dee when she sent me a link to her documentary, Individual Audacity, and I gobbled that up, man. Most of the time when I get these sorts of things, I'm like, okay, yeah, to be quite honest. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes and see, you know, if it's anything. Man, it's minute number one, I was in. I was like, who is this woman? I need to know about her. I need to understand her life. And I immediately reached out, and I've come to know Dee over these past couple of months, and I've just fallen in love with her and count her as a dear friend and colleague already. And one of the things that I so appreciate about Dee is that she has just, you know, been a fighter in life, in business. She has overcome childhood sexual abuse from the age of 8 through being a preteen mom at the ages of 11 and 15, living on welfare in Baltimore at 16, becoming a 10th grade high school dropout. But you would never know any of that until she tells you her story, because she has gone on to create a successful business, a powerful life. And really, it's she describes it as, you know, her victorious path to achievement. And when we talk about here in Beyond Surviving, about taking the pain and the trauma that we've experienced and transforming it so that we can live powerfully, Dee is a great example of this. So there are so many things that Dee is up to in her life, and she is going to be sharing about that in our conversation today. But I want you to just know that she really is on a mission to move unconventional leaders into the center of their zone of influence so that we can use hardships to fuel, as fuel to empower, inspire, overcome, create, and transform. So Dee, welcome, lady. I am so stoked to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. That was the first thing I wanted to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is definitely so freaking cool.
That's awesome. Right on. So tell me a little bit about individual audacity.
Yeah, individual audacity is, it's a verb, it's a noun, it's an adjective. It's literally that, it's the grit that you have inside of you that you really don't realize is floating there. Most people don't even realize they have this superhuman power on the inside that will allow them to really overcome, accomplish, and achieve the unthinkable. Mm. And individual audacity is something that I learned when I was super young. I was probably about 5 or 6, really, when I first started to understand that there was something that I had on the inside, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we start to grow up and we see everything on the outside, you know, our hair, our eyes, our friends are talking about who's taller than who and who has the biggest feet or what have you. But I knew very early on that it was something else. There was another part of me that was living and breathing and existing. And then I actually had the opportunity to start using it when I turned 8 in real life. And unfortunately, it was at a time when something crazy was happening, you know, when, and you talked about it. And that was the first experience that I had where I was sexually abused. And it was just I don't know, can I dive into it now?
Yeah, let's go there. Yeah.
So for everyone that's listening, I know, you know, sometimes when you think about what you've experienced, it's like the most horrific situation. And it is. But it's not as horrific when you're experiencing something and for me, I was, I guess, completely oblivious to everything, right? Mm. I was in a safe space. You know, my mom sent me to a babysitter and I went there every day. You know, that's where my brother and I went. She watched us while my mom worked. And one day she said she was going out for something and ended up her 21-year-old son ended up, you know, taking my innocence on that day. And I had no clue, you know, how to even process what was going on. How do I tell my mom? And even after I told my mom and we went to the hospital, we went to the police, it was almost like she blocked it out, I guess. Mm. So it was something that I was kind of dealing with on my own. And that's when my individual audacity had to really kick in, because you have to start thinking about choices. And for me, choices at a very young age, right? What does safety mean to me?
Right.
What does safety mean to me? Do I, and is that, and how important is that to me? And so this became something that I actually lived with for you know, many years of my life, the sexual abuse, it became a running theme in different situations in my life. I got a job when I was 15 and my boss did the same thing. And then, you know, I was actually sexually abused by a police officer when I was 19. And I just noticed just like over time that I had something going on. I don't know if it was with me or if I was attracting it at the time, but it was a running theme. And so I really had to figure out how to cope and not be angry, not want to kill myself, right?
Right.
Not like, you know, and I think those were the two bigger things that I was thinking, not just give up. That was the bigger thing too. Because when things are being thrown at you so much, like so massively, your first thing is like, why me? I want to give up. So I had to learn individual audacity at a young age. And I didn't even mention I had two kids in the middle of all of that.
All so, right. Oh, and that. Yes.
And that, right?
Yes.
So I became a teen mom at the age of 11. I was pregnant at 11, teen mom at 12, in that situation. And then had another child when I was 15, actually lived on my own, had my first apartment when I was 16 years old. What were you doing when you were 16?
Mm.
I don't know what you were doing, but I was
playing volleyball. I was doing a lot of volleyball.
I was paying bills. When you're living in a life where everything is about survival, right? You have to figure out how to love yourself. You've got to figure out how to trust yourself. You've got to open yourself up to trust people when everyone is hurting you. Everyone is hurting you. But you still have to have enough something, faith, knowledge, maturity, audacity to believe that there are still good people out there that are there to support you. You know, you have to tap into something greater than yourself in order to be able to get through that and still smile in the morning.
Yeah,
you're fired up about life, you know, and that's what I learned how to do. And that's when I tapped into my individual audacity. So I have the story. People come to me all the time, Rachel, and they're like, but D, you don't understand. That's
right. Let me tell you mine. Yes. Let me tell you why. Yeah.
Listen, I sit back and wait and I listen and then I say, okay, we have a similar story. So what sets me apart from you? What makes me different from you? Right. And so then now we can start to have the conversation. And that's where I get really fired up, Rachel.
Yes.
That is where I get fired up, because this is where you have the opportunity to really show someone that you have the individual audacity to actually overcome these challenges, to actually take these experiences that you have experienced and to really transform them into something that will not only impact your life, but other people's lives as well. I'm sorry. I know I'm going off today. Fired up.
You are so amazing. Cause I literally was like, I really hope I don't say more than like three words in this whole podcast. I just let you go because you have got such passion for healing, for people, for purpose, and you have really a lot of wisdom to share with us. What I will offer just from what you shared there, Dee, I'm really, really connected to and present to the part that we all have inside of us that we might disconnect from, you know, at times, and life can certainly do its very best to beat it out of us. But that boldness, like it takes a certain amount of boldness to say, yeah, all of this shit has happened to me. And you know what? I'm moving on. I'm doing this. I'm going to be better. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to let it hold me back. And I think a lot of what I love about the work that you do is about helping people remember their courage and remember that they have that boldness inside of them. And they, how do you tap into that? And so, you know, when you talk about discovering this part of yourself, it sounds like it was a very natural process. And it also sounds like there were times where that was very greatly challenged and you had to keep coming back and you had to keep coming back. And one of the words that I really also heard in what you just shared there was choice. Can you talk with us a little bit about that journey for you of connecting into choice really that powerfully, where whatever life was throwing you, whatever circumstances were there in front of you, how did you, even in times of despair or depression or sadness, what was your process of coming out of that and back into your power?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the process is really simple. So simple from a thought perspective, but from a do perspective, not so simple. So I'm going to keep it so real with you. The hardest thing to do is to be in a really crappy situation or to feel really crappy and then all of a sudden say, you know, forget it. I'm going to feel differently, or, you know, things are going to be different. And people say that's easy. That's not easy, because naturally you're feeling down, you're feeling angry or hurt or defeated. So it really is a process. The process really is about choice. It really does come down to choice. It's you sitting down talking to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's you sitting down negotiating with yourself. It's mm-hmm. you sitting down clarifying your desires with yourself. It's you sitting down reminding yourself. It's you sitting down sometimes beating yourself up, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. that's fair. Don't let anybody tell you you shouldn't do that. Because sometimes you have to say, you know what? You screwed up.
Get your shit together. Yes.
We're still here.
Yes.
We're back here again, D. Williams. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's my conversation with you, right? We're back here again, hon. We're still here, right? So sometimes, so that process of choice is really about conversation. It's about conversation, but it's about conversation with you. With you, it's a conversation with the God in you. Now, I took it a step further. Some people are not going to like
that. Hey, that's all right.
So, and that's a hard conversation to have. And sometimes really it's the hardest conversation to have. So I'm just going to give you a quick tip, because I've learned this tip. This has really helped me with this. Converse with yourself in the mirror. It's easier to converse with yourself in the mirror than it is to just converse with yourself. Because you have to face yourself.
Right.
And it's hard to face yourself when you're not feeling good about you.
Yeah.
And so it's something really profound about having a conversation with you in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I typically take pen and paper. So that's a whole nother story. We can talk about that. You asked about process. Those are some tips around my process.
I like that.
But you really got to get down and ask yourself questions. So once you start to define, like, okay, what's my real goal? So yeah, I screwed up, or yeah, I'm in this situation. What do I want? What do I desire? Now that's really the hardest question, because the natural feeling is I want to feel happy. But and that's great, because I feel bad, I want to feel happy, or I'm in this situation, I want to get out. But what does that look like exactly? You have to know exactly what you want. Then once you know what you want, you actually have to visualize it. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but that's so real.
Mm-hmm.
And like in your mind, you just have to be able to see whatever you want your outcome to be. And that's the inside work that has to be done. And it works. Once you get that, then it's a secret piece that nobody really talks about. And that's where I come in with the individual audacity as well. You've got to make a choice that you're going to get fired up about it. Now that's hard, because now you're telling me, D. Williams, I got to get excited about feeling when I'm feeling crappy. You just said that was hard. Well, yes, because you're not getting excited about where you are now or where you were or what you're experiencing. That's not the case. What you're getting excited about is the choice that you made, that you're going to do something differently, that you're going to choose a different option, or you're going to create an option. You're getting excited about what you have decided that you desire, and you're getting excited about the idea that you know that this is about to happen.
Nice.
And so now you're in this a different space. Now you've shifted your energy from, oh, woe is me. Oh, this happened to me. Oh, but D, you don't understand, to, okay, I know where I'm going. I got a mission. I got a purpose. I'm about to make this thing go down. Hello. And you're going to get fired up about it. I'm going to make this thing happen. And that energy that you put around what you have created is the individual audacity that's going to drive you to a 6-7-figure income, to meet people you've never imagined you need, to living the way that you want, to driving what you want, to eating too much of what you want, i.e. I know I got the shirt. Hello. You know, it's really going to propel. And really the bigger thing is that you're going to get addicted to being fired up. And when you're addicted to being fired up, what happens is people become attracted to you. And so all the work that you think you've got to do to achieve the goals that you want to achieve, it doesn't become work anymore, because the energy that you're creating within will draw everything that you want and desire and need to you, and almost instantaneously. So you got to be careful with this special power.
Right? Boom, it's there. You're like, oh shit, what am I doing with this now, right? I thought it was going to be a couple of years. I had time. Nope, it's right there. Yes.
So that's the process.
That's some serious truth you're speaking right there. I think, you know, we've lost touch with how powerful we actually really are, because abuse is so disempowering. Yeah. And it can really leave us in this mindset of woe is me and all these things keep happening. And you know, I think when we look at, you know, when I'm working with my clients, I'm constantly compassionately challenging them, right? Because it is like, yes, and. Because most of us, I remember one time in my life, I was throwing a temper tantrum, and I mean a literal temper tantrum. I was like down on the floor kicking and screaming. I was probably 23 years old at that time, throwing this temper tantrum. And my partner at the time looked at me and said, look, I understand that you went through this trauma. I understand you had the abuse, but you do not get to keep using that as an excuse to act this way. And I was pissed. I was like, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like. You don't. But you know what? That has always been one of those little nudges that I absolutely needed. Even though I didn't give him the gratification of knowing it helped me, it actually really did. And I think when we, let's talk about that a little bit more. What do we actually mean when we're talking about living with no excuses? This isn't about blaming or shaming or making people bad or wrong. But it is about calling people, I think, to a level of living and a level of empowerment and being that we know is really there for them, but this abuse and trauma keeps trying to convince them it's not. So what do you mean when you say live with no excuses?
It means accountability, right? It means, and that's a hard word to take, and it can be taken in so many ways. Some people can say, but I was sexually abused. Why do you want me to be held accountable for that? I'm not asking you to be held accountable for what happened to you. I'm asking for you to be accountable for how you feel in this moment in time. How you feel, what you think, and what you plan to do with what you feel and think.
Yeah.
That's the accountability that you have to, that is associated with no more excuses. And that becomes power. You're right. That becomes power, because now you can take charge of that. You can take control of that. And you can say, okay, I can admit this is what happened to me. And you know what? Now what do I do with it? Now, and now you go back to that choice again, right? But now you're holding yourself accountable for where you're going to go in the future. You're holding yourself accountable for how you're going to wake up in the morning. You're holding yourself accountable for how you're going to interact with everyone you come in contact with throughout the course of the day. You're holding yourself accountable for your happiness. And the thing is that those excuses, they relinquish that accountability.
They
say that, oh, now I can hold the abuser accountable for, you know, for, and you can hold them accountable for only for a certain percentage, only a certain amount. You've got to bring it back in.
At some point, it's your life.
It's your
life. Yeah.
And that moment in time is just that.
It is
that moment in time. You're not experiencing that every second of the day, every day, every day, every day. And if you are, you still have a choice to hold yourself accountable and say, how can I get out of this situation?
Yeah, I think that's really critical. And for me, while in retrospect that I see that this is what happened, what I started to hold myself accountable for was because I did feel very disempowered. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to take care of myself. I don't know how to trust. But what I started to hold myself accountable to was figuring it out. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get the support, right? I'm going to get counseling, or I'm going to read some books, or I'm going to learn some skills and tools. So for some of you who are listening, who might feel very confronted by this conversation, I hope so, because mostly what we're attempting is here is to fire you up, right? To inspire you to take action. And so if you already have the skills and the tools and you're not doing it, then your job is to do it. Right. But if you don't have the skills and the tools for how to set boundaries, for how to regulate your nervous system, so you can get out of that freeze state, which will help you in being more motivated and fired up, then that's where your accountability is. Get the support you need, have the conversations you need, access resources. There are so many free resources available these days. Back in the day when I was doing this work and healing work, this is not the case, right? So there's such a plethora of opportunity for support that there, in other words, there really is no excuse because there's so many ways that we can heal and resources that we can tap into. Dee, you go ahead. You want to say something there?
I just want to say healing and healing is about conversation too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily having the conversation of living the ordeal out over and over again verbally, but having the conversation of how do I transcend from this traumatic experience that has happened to me. And that to me is a major part of healing. I just wanted to throw that in
there.
I'm a very no nonsense kind of coach, to be honest with you. And so I come across sometimes pretty brute to some people who hold themselves to be a little more sensitive. But like Rachel said, I want you to tap into that energy you have on the inside that's literally telling you in the back of your mind, she's right, I can get past this, you know? And the last thing I want to say to what you just said, Rachel, it's also something that you've got to want to do. Not something that you want, that you say you want to do, but it has to be, you have to genuinely be in a position where you feel like enough is enough. I have to move on past this. And you know that you're getting there right when you're ready to impact somebody else based on what you've been. You're ready to turn it into a mission, turn it into a movement, turn it into a business, turn it into a career opportunity for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's good. And actually, that takes us right to what I wanted to ask you next, which was this idea of personal mission, because I know that that's something that you work on with your clients and that's really important to you. Where does that come into play? What is a personal mission and how does that play a part in everything that we've been talking about so far?
Yeah. So a personal mission. So this is the deal. How I even came up with it is going through the sexual abuse, going through the traumatic childhood. And it's like, what do you do with that stuff? You know, as you're carrying it around with you. So I'm meeting people. Hey, Rachel. And in the back of my mind, yes, but I'm a sexual abuse. I'm a vet, you know? So how do you deal with that? And so one of the things that we have learned and what's been super successful for people who have experienced traumas in their past, major obstacles, is taking that, turning your story. First of all, acknowledging your story. Let's get it in a book. Let's get it on a podcast. Let's a YouTube channel. Let's just write it out in a journal, however you want to do it. Let's acknowledge it first. Then let's help someone else. How can we take that energy and help someone else? And Rachel is doing it through, an amazing way. This is why I'm so close to her like glue, right? Because I see all of the amazing things that she's doing with these survivors, and you see me doing it, and you saw how Oprah did it even, right?
Right.
Oprah did it. So like you see how Jada Pinkett Smith, so everybody has their own, they're creating these personal missions and you've got to figure out how you're going to create yours. And they come in many different colors, many different flavors, many different sizes, many different ideas. But it's your personal mission, your personal movement. And the idea is that so that the next person doesn't have to experience what you have experienced. So they don't have to experience the sexual sexual abuse. And if they do, they have an outlet. You're providing that outlet for them, whether it's something you do nonprofit, whether it's something you do for profit, whether it's something you do for fun, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, it has to be something that you're putting your sweat, tears, heart, soul, energy, and fire mm-hmm. into to impact society in a different way. So that you can be a part of this mission and movement to move society forward.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think a really beautiful thing about what you're saying there is your trauma doesn't have to be your mission. It happens to be for me, right? The sexual abuse. And I didn't even think it was going to be, right? I planned to be a teacher. So there you go. Sometimes missions come and snatch you and you have no say about it. But your mission, even though you've experienced trauma, your personal mission doesn't necessarily have to be about changing things in this arena. But it is about tapping into something that matters and that you care about, that is about the greater good. That is not just about you and your own healing and your own process, getting a
That's
little
exactly
outside
right.
of yourself. Okay.
Yes, it can be anything. That's why I said it comes in many colors, flavors, sizes, shapes, forms, ideas. It just has to be something that you're passionate about or that you feel like is really going to take society and move it forward. We have more control over how this society functions than we give ourselves credit for.
Agreed.
But we don't really tap into that individual audacity, and enough of us aren't creating personal missions that will allow society to evolve at the pace that we should. That's a whole different topic though, Rachel. You know I get fired up.
Well, I know this really needs to be like a 3-hour podcast for us to cover everything. So does that play a little bit into this idea of zone of influence? Are these two things related?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because that passion that you have, that fire that you have, and that personal mission, you put those together, then you're in your zone. Right now, guess who's in their zone? Me.
Mm-hmm.
I got the shirt. I'm in my zone.
Mind-boggling.
I'm just starting this conversation.
I get a little emotional about it because, Dee, I think about how underlying so much of the work that I'm doing is about getting trauma out of the way so that people can do the marvelous, magical, wonderful, amazing, influential things that they are meant to do. And our society is so hurt and is so broken because of unresolved trauma.
Yeah.
And the more we heal the individuals and we help them tap into their audacity instead of their trauma, their power instead of their pain, man, you're so right about it. We get to change the world. And that's, you know, everything.
That's everything. That's everything. And I think we need to start thinking that way. Like, we don't think that way. We don't think, how do we change the world? Most people, when I say I'm up, somebody asked me this morning, Dee, how you feeling today? I said, I'm up, I'm fired up, and ready to impact the world in a positive way. And they're like, the whole world?
Yes.
And they said,
why not?
That's a little ambitious. And I said, I'm an ambitious woman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to impact the whole world, I said, every single being in the entire planet. And, you know, you start thinking about that. What if everyone woke up like that.
My God. Right?
Everyone on a mission to inspire, to impact, to see the world. Like, it's just a beautiful thought.
One thing that I've really gotten excited about lately in my work is I've been doing this for 12 years now. So I'm starting to have graduates of my program who graduated like 12 years ago coming back around and sharing with like where they are in their lives. And here are the kids that I now have. Here's the business that I'm now running and the clients that I now have and all these sorts of things. And so when I think about influencing and impacting the world, I can still imagine it as the one person who's in front of me right now. Because if I can influence and impact that one person, then they're going to go and influence and impact that person and then that person and then that person. So we, in that way, that trickle-down effect, we can have very big impact even if we're still working just directly with one person
just
at
a moment.
You know?
Yes, at a bus stop.
Hey, right? Like that's it. So, man, like those little moments in our day-to-day are actually super, super critical. The moments when we take time to, I think, pause and see each other, Mandy, okay, we're going to just go places in this conversation. I want to hear your thoughts on this because something that's really been on my mind lately is how freaking afraid we all are of each other. Why are we so afraid of each other? Like I go on my morning walks and I say good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And I would say like 1 out of 10, I get a reply back and everybody else is startled. Like, you know, and like, how do we conquer this? How do we start to shift our experience of ourselves and other people to remember that like we're all in this together. This is not me against you. This is not us against them. What do you think about that?
First of all, I actually think we need to watch less TV. I know that sounds terrible.
Okay.
But
why?
I feel like that we are very programmed by the things that we see. Mm-hmm. And if you realize what you're watching, you know, many of you may be watching wonderful things all day, but I know before I removed the TV from my home in January 2015 is when I turned the cable off. Mm. And we have one TV in the entire house, and we watch anime.
Right on.
But I noticed that even how things shifted in my life, when you're constantly watching this picture and hearing this audio of, if you're a news watcher, all the negative things that are happening, the bombings, the killings, and I say we shouldn't be aware, but when you are digesting so much of that into your existence, your energy all day, every day, when you walk out the door, of course you're going to be nervous.
Yeah, right. This person's dangerous. That person's dangerous. That good person going to hurt me. Is that person going to bomb something? Yeah.
You don't know what you're automatically. And then, of course, you're also getting the opinions of other people, you know, that you're listening to and watching in your mind, too. So someone who may look a certain way, who's the sweetest person on the earth, right?
Mm.
Because they look a certain way, and you've been watching TV, and they had these opinions, and whether you agree with their opinions or not, because you took that in, now you're seeing this person, you're like, I'm not going to, she's got red hair. I heard about redheads. I need redheads too.
What'd you hear? What'd you hear? It's all true. It's all true.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so now I'm not waving at her. She better not wave at me. Oh,
right.
Yeah. Right. And so now you're in this space. So, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so easy for me to be fired up because I don't intake that.
Yeah.
Right. So
you don't have that negative impact and influence pulling that energy out of you.
So I'm like, look at this beautiful soul. Hey, lady, what you got going on?
Right.
What you doing for the world today?
Right.
But you've got to kind of mind what you're taking in. And again, that's not to say don't watch TV, but what are you watching?
Pay attention.
And how is it affecting your energy internally? And you know, and that's the stuff that's important.
Yeah, and I think that goes for so many things, right? Music, your own internal thought. What is the newscaster inside your head saying, right? Like,
listen, music is the biggest piece, in my opinion, because repetition.
Yes.
The mother of all learning.
Yes.
So I'm going to share this with you. This is a real story. So my daughter's 16 now. Maybe I can't share the whole story. So after her graduation, my ex-husband and I were in the car and a song came on the radio. So we don't listen to it. Like I said, I've kind of cleansed my house of that. I want us to really wake up feeling good. And I feel like that's the key to starting your day off right. And so my ex-husband came and he's listening to a song, and the song was called Percocet. So I've never heard this song before, but the whole repetition was Molly Percocet. It was stated over and over and over and over again. So the last time I heard of, I was at the hospital after surgery and was prescribed this, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, why are we singing a song about prescription pills,
drugs,
right?
Yeah.
So he's like jamming to it. Percocet, right? And I'm kind of sitting there looking to the side like, are we serious? Is this where we are today? So my daughter's in the back and I happen to glance and I notice her bopping her head. Oh, so you know, now I was like, no, that's not about
not having that. Right.
And so we had the conversation and he was highly offended, just FYI, and didn't really understand why I was upset. And I made him change the channel. And what I explained to him is that everything lives on a frequency.
Yes.
And so when you're intaking this over and over again, and you know, my daughter's 16, her generation is super suicidal. You know, right. they're always like, oh, I just killed myself now. You know, like what? But they're listening to this music where they're talking about killing themselves.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the trend. So we have to be careful with the music that we listen to, the TV that we watch. We have to really be energy snobs.
I love that, D.
Energy snob. If somebody is around you and their energy is not good, you don't have to be disrespectful to them, but be snobby enough to say, all right, love, you have a good day today.
Right.
And walk away. To preserve your energy.
Yes.
You gotta be energy snob, right?
Yes. That's right.
That's how it's
taught. That's really, really powerful and good advice. It's about being a steward of the things that you take in, whether that's external or whether it's internal, and really recognizing that your energy absolutely is impacted. I mean, there's so many things, your nervous system, the actual neurons in your brain, your literal cells are impacted by music and vibration and energy and whether it's positive, negative. So we have a lot to do there. Talk about power of influence. Like, this is a different type of influence, and we want to be mindful of that and pay attention to what we're doing there.
Definitely.
Dee, I really don't want to go, but we probably should. So do you have any final words of encouragement or just anything that you really want people to know as we start to wrap up today?
Yeah, I want you to know, first of all, wherever you are, you're not the only person. First of all, you're not in this alone. The second thing is you have options, right? So it's like, don't give up. You have options, no matter how you feel or what you're thinking or what you've been through. I promise you, you have options. So whatever you desire for your to feel, to be, to see, to experience, it's all really there for you, with the power of your choice. So once you make that choice, D, you're right. You're 100% right, D. I have the power. I have the choice. This is where I desire to be. I'm going to be here. Y'all can follow me. Can I tell them where they can follow me?
Oh, yes, please tell them all the things they need to do to follow you and get connected with you.
Come on and I get you fired up, okay? And get you excited and help you, you bring your mission, help you create a mission and bring your mission to life. So you can follow me at my name, actually, it's dee-williams.com. And everything you can think of as far as follow me is there. We have a tour coming up, the Individual Audacity Mo Plan Do Tour. So we don't have a link for it just yet, Rachel, but she'll have it for you when this goes live.
Yeah, be sure to share it.
But it'll also be on the D Williams website. I'm on Instagram, Your D Williams, Y-O-U-R-D-E-E Williams. I'm on YouTube. I am on Facebook, Your D Williams. So you can follow me just about everywhere. And listen, message me on Facebook and say, D, this is where I am. Message me on Instagram And I promise you, between me and Rachel, we'll get you together. I'm good enough.
We'll get you sorted one way or another. Oh, my gosh. Dee, I love you so much. And I thank you. We're so blessed that you exist and are here in the world doing what you're doing, that you've taken some really hard days and turned them into brilliance and light and influence. And I can't wait to meet you in person and to come hang out with you at your tour and help you and support you in that. So I know we'll continue the conversation as sisters and keep going in our journey and our collaborations as well. Thank you so much for your blessed time today. And for those of you who are listening, we thank you for listening and tuning in. And this is a moment of choosing, you know, when you choose to listen to these podcasts as a place of inspiration and hope and learning, that's you making a choice for your healing. So I just want to acknowledge that and celebrate you in that. And also want to encourage you to pop on over to rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and check out the other resources that are there. Be sure to connect with Dee, follow her, check out all of her resources, subscribe to the podcast, and come back and join us next time because we have so much more to share. And until then, take really good care of you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.